Mr. Pop.
I'm telling you, I hate e-bikes 90% of the time.
This is Ruck and Roll, your weekly shot of sport and music with Kevin Hillier, Brian Mannix and Mark Fine.
The countdown clock has begun and the 2024 edition of Ruck and Roll is now upon you. Thank you for being patient and waiting for us to sober up from Christmas so as we could join you for another year. But here we are, Ruck and Roll with Kevin Hillier, Mark Fine and Brian Mannix. In no particular order, but I'll go first because, you know, I do. Mark Fine is with us as always. Welcome back.
Hello. I'm so excited. We're back. I missed it. I'm delighted to be settling up for another year. It should be a great year. Brian, I mean, I can't believe Brian's sobered up since Christmas. Have you got that? Is it a fact or you're just
It's a bit of poetic license there, you know, it was a tiny bit, as Brian swigs on a beer. And Brian Mannix is with us as he always is and always will be. Hello, Brian.
Good evening. And boy, we're going to have a few scoops this week, aren't we? Or next week.
I really feel
that this is the year for some real deep diving investigation and journalism.
Well, like and in that ilk, one of our predecessors, 60 Minutes, we'll be going 60 Minutes on the knocker. At the 60-minute mark, we've got to go to the news. Oh, he's vaping again.
We're going on the knockers.
We're going to the news.
On the knocker.
On the knocker, we are. Off we go to the news. So, look, let's fill everyone in what we've been up to since December 12 or 13 when we did the last show. Finey, you missed the big overseas trip. You couldn't go. Nat's foot was not good, had to be operated on. What was Christmas and the New Year like in the Fine household?
Okay, well, it was good. We were pretty immobile, but all good. And then we focused on the reno for the shop. I got busy cooking up a storm to make sure all the fridges and freezers are full, which they are, and the response to the newly renovated store has been overwhelming. It's just been fantastic. People love it. Yeah, onwards and upwards for Lenny's Fine Food. Really exciting times. And
I've seen the social media post that you've done, and the shop looks magnificent, mate. Congratulations.
Thank you. Beyond that, I got a few tattoos. Surprise. Just a real big one on my back. It's huge. It's going to be my whole back. That's been done by a great bloke and a brilliant tattooist, Trevor McStay. I think I told you about him.
Yep.
Dan's father.
Yep.
I was sort of emceeing a big darts event last weekend, which was a huge success. That was great. Brought Brendan Dolan out. Fresh on making the quarterfinals of the World Championship. So that was a big afternoon. That was good fun. And onwards and upwards. It's all been good.
Beautiful. A couple of other things you've been up to I'll bring up during the program. Brian Mannix, what was Christmas and New Year and the festive season like in the penthouse?
It was good. I had a bit of an orphan's Christmas. I saw my daughter for about 15 minutes and then she was off to Brisbane. But I had lunch with friends, and then my dance partner Melody and her husband and her son came over, and we all had a swim. Then we went back and had dessert at Jan's, and then that was about it, really. And New Year's Eve, I worked in Melbourne, out of Melbourne. Yeah. Then that was good too. So, you know, it was, you know, we've had a few of these Christmas things, and we've had a few New Year's, so you tend not to get too excited about it anymore, you know, like when you were 10.
Fair enough. Now, what's 2024 finally? Obviously, the shop, you've done all the is the reno's now complete, done, dusted, finish?
The reno's are done. Still a couple of finishing touches, but, the reno's are done. Now we're focusing on stocking the store up with some great new lines. But, we're there. We made it. It was such a magnificent effort by Natalie because she designed the whole thing. And when I say designed, it didn't just come up with ideas. Actually, architectural designs, used the computer, coordinated the trades, and they were just amazed at how professional the job was. Basically did the job of a professional shop designer architect that can cost you six figures. So
yep.
It was an outstanding effort. She's a very clever girl, my wife.
Well, we're going to test her cleverness because we wanted to work on your internet connection between now and the show next week, so as we don't get you Googling all the time. We've worked on Brian's. Brian's entered the space age with us. He's got the microphone. He's got computer. He's got good audio. You're sounding good, Mannix.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin, and it's great to finally have a decent microphone and looking forward to sounding more and more like John Laws.
Beautiful. Now, finally got to ask the question. You went back in for the 20th anniversary of the opening of SEN.
Yep, that was great fun.
You made some appearances across, I think, the breakfast program. Were you on other ones as well or just the brekkie?
No, just brekkie. But okay.
With really Whispering Tim Watson and galloping gasometer, Gary Lyon. Now, I watched social media before it happened. I watched social media after it happened. And there was only one person they were talking about in terms of the hardcore SEN listeners was you. And the fact that they missed you enormously. They were quoting things that you did on the radio during your time and the things that they miss and Finey's final siren and all that. I would be amazed if they didn't have another. They had a crack at you last year and you said no. Have they had another crack at you this year? And what are you going to do? Are you going to relent and do some radio?
They have had another crack.
There you go.
And this time I laid my demands. Last year I was sort of deer in the headlights, and I know, you know, I said publicly it wasn't the money, but let me tell you, they didn't offer anything to me that made me think twice.
Yeah.
So this year I've come back at them, and it's not so much about the cash return, the money return, but I'm after some exposure for the business. And if they come to the party, I'll be doing Friday night after the footy.
There you go. So the ball's
abusing everybody.
The ball's back in their court.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
okay.
Correct.
So basically you've said yes, and if they come up with dot the I's, cross the T's, you're there.
Correct. That's it.
All right, good. Pleased to hear it.
Exclusive on Ruck and Roll.
Yes, pleased to hear it. That's a very good outcome. Now, the offer to join Ringo Starr's band, Brian, I know it's been hovering.
Look, I just, you know, when he asked me last year, I was a bit like deer in the headlights. But this year, I knew what I wanted.
Yes.
And it wasn't, you know, I said to Ringo, it's not just the money, you know. And I thought, you know, if we can promote Finey's shop.
Yes.
That'll. No, hang on. That's not true. I know all about the negotiations. And like me, Brian went back to Ringo and said, it's not about the money, it's about an exposure. Am I allowed to expose myself on stage?
And Ringo said, I wouldn't have you in the barn if you didn't.
Exactly right. Now, we've got a monster version of the Death Eliza to catch up on as well, and not this week because there's just so many other bits and pieces to catch up on, but starting next week, we're going to do a little thing called Chart Chat, which is talking about music, but not in the same way that you've heard it done on Rock and Roll previously, where we've picked three songs out of a chart and gone, oh, that's my number one, two, three. Not doing it that way. Just going to have a little chat and talk about some music and some musicians and some songs, not necessarily in any particular order, but just out of an interest sort of thing.
And then
so professionally.
Yeah, correct.
And then there's the new porn stars segment we're having on the show too, where we talk about our favourite porn stars.
Who's yours, Brian?
Buck Naked. He's very good. I don't know. I don't really watch porn.
No.
I live it.
Yeah, I agree. I like making porn.
Goodness me. All right. Now, well, let's talk about it.
Have you heard that expression, food porn?
Food porn?
You know, food porn.
Yeah. So what you do at Lenny's. No, it's not what you do at Lenny's at all.
I mean, most people think food porn is glossy magazines with luscious photos of food.
Mm-hmm.
I like the other food porn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But people show you what to do with the rough end of a pineapple.
Yeah, yeah, you know, things, you know. Hard vegetables that fit in tight places.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, right. Now let's move on to the tennis because that came to a amazing crescendo. No, Novak didn't make it. A back-to-back winner in the women's, Sabalenka won the women's, but a new name emerging, Jannik Sinner in the men's. Any interest in the tennis over the last couple of weeks, Brian? Did you watch any of it in Queensland or did you just miss it completely?
Not really interested in it. There's too many Russian names that I don't know. I don't know. There was no stars for me.
Okay. Finally, it's a little closer to your home base. Not quite as close as it was last year, but closer to your home base. What did you?
Yeah, not that interested.
No,
really, no. Funny, I ran into a lot of people, including my eldest, my daughter, and they were regularly saying, "Oh, we're going to the tennis tonight. You know, we got tickets to the tennis. We're going to the tennis." I don't know. It's all a bit. Tennis is long and boring, and the pointy end might be interesting. Look, I reckon if Ash Barty was still playing,
yep.
If an Aussie went deep in the men's, yeah, I'd be interested and it's exciting. But it doesn't make any difference to me whether Sinner wins or Medvedev wins or, you know, I and certainly the women, I don't really know who they are. I don't care who wins. And if you don't care who wins, then I've always felt I love sport when I've got an interest. And I'm not talking gambling because I don't bet on sport, but I certainly do not have any interest in any non-Australians. So it's hard to get passionate.
Yeah, and it's a sport that's dominated by non-Australians. Let's go to the cricket then, which is a sport that usually is dominated by Australians, but by jingo, by gee, by crikey, as Mike Gibson might have said 35 years ago, the little West Indians bobbed up and gave us a right little pantsing yesterday. I thought they were terrific.
How many did Khawaja make in the second innings?
No, he made 60-odd in the first innings.
But let's talk about the second. I don't think
he made double figures.
I don't think he did either. No. And they lost by 8 runs.
Yep.
It's his fault.
Oh, well, I'd probably, if I was picking a batsman that has failed miserably all summer, it's Manus Labuschagne. He's had a very ordinary summer, a couple of 60s, and apart from that, nothing. Uzi's actually got a few. Head's got a couple. He either gets 100 or none, which is exactly what he got in the test.
Khawaja's been pretty good, actually.
Yeah, Steve Smith, interesting experiment, worked in the second innings, not in the first. Cameron Green, jury's out on him at number 4.
Yeah, I know.
Jury's still out on Mitch Marsh at number 6. Alex Carey batted really well in the first innings of this test. I'll tell you
what Carey did do.
What did he do?
He created history, and we're almost at 150 years of test cricket, aren't we?
Yeah.
He took the worst catch in the history of cricket.
Which one was that?
Somebody nicked it to him, straight through to the keeper. It hit him in the wrist. Then he went to grab it again, and he fluffed it. He ended up diving and he didn't even catch it. He just he dropped it again, but this time he held it against his chest.
Yeah, I do know the catcher, mate.
Oh, God, it was bad.
Yeah, it was an iron glove. If you looked up the definition of iron gloves, there'd be a little video of that catch.
Yeah, it was not competent, but it was out.
Yes, it was. Shamar Joseph is the new pin-up boy of West Indian cricket. What an amazing couple of tests that young man's had.
He can bowl. I mean, sometimes, look, this bloke Hartley, who won the test for England.
Oh, the spinner, yep.
He did brilliantly, but it was a turning wicket, and Hartley may go on to have a career. He may go on to be mediocre. I think there's plenty of pictures that he will not feature heavily on. That's Shamar Joseph can bowl. I was listening to Robert Craddock today on SCN, and he said, and it's quite correct, most world-class batsmen, they can bat if not comfortably, but well, up to 140 k's an hour from a bowler.
Yep.
Anything above that becomes not just a test off the wicket or where the ball's pitched. The speed becomes an issue. Now, this bloke, he can hit 150 k's an hour. He's bowling some 147s, 149s, zeroing in on the stumps. He's only young. He did it with a broken toe in the second innings.
Yes, he did.
He made pretty good batsmen look inferior. Now, flash in the pan. He's only been playing for 14 months with a proper cricket ball. I think the best might be ahead of him. And that's exciting because West Indies, everybody who's old enough to remember them being great has this sort of pangs of pain when they remember how great they were and what a great addition a brilliant West Indian side would be to world cricket. So, yep.
And they took catches, which was one of the hallmarks of the West Indies. They're a great fielding team. They bowled well. They bowled quick. And they kept coming at you. The third bowler isn't the quickest in the world, but he's not that bad. I don't think they've got a very strong batting lineup, but I'll be honest and say I don't think there's a very strong batting lineup in the world that once the ball starts to move around a little bit and goes at 140 plus clicks, they're in trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, 2020 has certainly dulled the ability of players to play test cricket. Yep. There's no question. You know, test cricket is a battle of endurance. They're not getting matches to 5 days. And, you know, great test batsmen used to guarantee that their team would win or draw. Now all a good test batsman can do is put his team in a winning position. But they're no longer capable of blunting an attack. It's just scoring or going out.
Yep.
So, you know, it's set up for bowlers a bit. Come on, West Indies. They did have one batsman. I heard Brian Lara say that actually this guy is potentially brilliant. We saw a little bit of it in the second innings, otherwise it failed. But Athanase looked to me like might have a bit of fun.
Yep.
That he could be all right.
Do you watch any of the cricket, Brian?
Yeah. I did. I watched the Pakistan test and the thing. I like the cricket. It's the sound of summer. And yeah, that last test in particular, it was a beauty. I thought, you know, I was sort of flicking around the thing and then I came back and said, oh, geez, we could lose this. And so I watched the finish and it was good. And I didn't mind that we lost, actually. As Finney said, just to see West Indies, like, well, they're not totally useless, so good. Hopefully they become a great team again.
Yeah, everyone's talking about the fact that once they get the money, if they can get the money and keep the better players in the game, in the game of test cricket, not all going off to play T20, you know,
basketball
around seven different countries in the world. Well, now you can just go from one T20 competition to the next, basically do the circuit around the world and make yourself, you know, millions of dollars if you're a half decent cricketer.
Yeah, you could make 25 million just by playing.
Well, you play test cricket and you get 2/5 of you know what?
Mm.
It's a silly system, but it's a system that's been allowed to happen by the people running cricket. We'll see how it develops. So I thought it was terrific. Long time since I've sat in the car and waited because I was driving around when they still needed 20 or 30 runs. And actually sat in the car and waited till the end because I thought, oh, this will be – and then ran inside and watched the replay of it on the telly. But been a long time since I've done that.
Yeah.
Long time. Hanging on on every one of the – on the balls. Now, footy. We're never too far away from footy, and we'll do tips again this year on Ruck and Roll. But always the worst –
I was just on that.
Yeah.
Steve Rackman came in the store today.
Yeah, I got your text.
And he said that he hoped, and I said – I'll run it past the other two, and even if they say no, we'll do it because I couldn't give a stuff what they say. that we do that weighted point system.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Forget the other one.
Yeah, not yeah doing,
forget the other
no,
one.
No, we just do one. We're just going to do yours.
Yeah, and he loved it.
I rent a great tipping system. I'll see if we can work out a way that we can even get people involved in it. on a week by week basis. So we'll see what we can do with that. But I love
Brian's a person.
Is he?
Apparently.
knee injuries. You mentioned Dan McStay's dad doing the tattooing on your back. Well, he's out for the year. He was the first of the knee injuries. Family. Bailey Smith was, I think, the second. Then I see Stephen Silvani's young Jack has done his knee. He's gone for a year.
Jacked off.
Who was that, Brian?
Yep. He's jacked off.
Jack's off. Yes, he is.
Silvani's jacked off. Okay.
You know, this is a fact. About 30 years ago, there was a harness horse in South Australia, a pacer called Jack Doff.
No.
I swear there was. As I live and breathe.
Good.
I've got a few friends called Jack Doff. That's quite a common name around Ballarat.
There were two horses running in South Australian harness racing, Jack Doff and Pillow Biter.
Oh, you see? Oh. Really? How did no one know what that meant? Even 30 years ago, you knew what that meant.
We all knew what it meant, but
there was two horses that some guy owned, and they'd always seem to be in the same. The one had been five, and the next one had been six. And I think it went so that it was like one was called My Girlfriend, and the next one was Swallows. My Girlfriend Swallows.
There was I don't know where this horse ran, but it was called Tudor. It was one of a Tudor horse. So everyone thought, a legitimate name. But the rest of it was Arm Off. So it looked like Tudor Arm Off. So it looked like Tudor Armour of some description, but it was Tudor Arm Off.
Well, there was a greyhound recently, a champion greyhound in New Zealand. Now, I think I've told you this, you know. How do you pronounce the word spelt P-U-M-A?
Puma.
Yeah, that's how we pronounce it in Australia. You know, in America, they call it a puma.
Puma, that's right.
Because
there was a champion dog in New Zealand called Puma Pants.
Don't know how they get away with those things. So,
and I sent you before we wrapped up the horse in the Japan that was racing only a few weeks
ago. Oh, yes. Yes, you did.
What was that horse called?
Shit a Bed.
That's Amber Heard's little hobby, isn't it?
Now let's talk about the Socceroos. They're in action at the moment. They've got the Asian Cup. We're through to the final eight, I think, at this stage. So they're going well.
And this is the Asian Cup. I thought it was just qualifiers.
No. This is the Asian Cup. This is it. We're in the quarters. We play. Actually, I didn't
South
see
Korea or is Saudi Arabia. It?
Yeah, it's whoever wins out of that one. So, be an interesting little. Finally, got some goals in the back of the net. Scored as many in the last qualifying game as we had for the two games the three games that we played before that.
Who was scoring the goals?
Boyle has scored, I think, Jackson Irvine got a couple in the first two games, and then I think Boyle got a penalty and he got one in this game as well. So I think he's scoring most of it.
Harry Souter got a goal.
Yep. But neither – I think Mitch Duke might have one in this competition so far. Yep. Bruno Fornaroli hasn't scored one, and the other young boy they've been playing up at centre forward here, at striker, that he hasn't got one yet I don't think.
Kissing. The brief bit I saw, it looked like a pretty young team we were playing.
What, the Socceroos are a young team?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are, actually.
They look young.
Who'd be the oldest player in that team, Finney? Probably Bajic.
I was going to say, I think Bajic is the only old timer left.
Yeah, because Souter and all the young kids that are playing.
Yeah, I think it's Aziz Bajic.
Burgess and those boys.
His first name is Shiza, yeah?
Aziz.
Shiza Bajic.
That's his uncle.
Goodwin might be in his early 30s too, I think, but he's not.
Yeah, good one.
He would be the only other one. Yeah, no, it is a young side, very young side.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
now, Graham. Do you want my? Go Graham on. Arnold.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, Graham Arnold. Couldn't afford a surname.
He's doing very well. Ange Postecoglou continues to. He gets a lot of press. Don't EPL coaches get or managers get an enormous amount of press? I mean, they literally they ask them the whys and wherefores of everything going on in the world. It's quite unbelievable.
Yep, yep, they do.
But what I like about Ange is he won't. He doesn't get sucked into the stuff.
No, but I think we had broken for our summer hiatus prior to the West Ham Tottenham game.
Yeah, we had.
Yeah.
Did they play each other? Did they, Fonny?
Oh, let's have a score update.
No, I don't. I can't read the score from here. I can see scores. Spurs haven't scored. I can't see it. Have West Ham scored?
Yeah, a couple of times.
How many did they get?
Two.
Yeah, just a couple. Yes, West Ham beat Spurs. Well done.
Yep, that was good. Now, do you want to know my sporting highlight of the summer, or are we still?
Yeah, no, go. Give us your sporting highlight of the summer.
I mean, it was the amazing, simply amazing World Championship of Darts. Put darts on the front page of every newspaper in England. Luke Littler, who'd never played a senior tournament in his life, I think he played one, 16 years of age, made the final, got beaten by Luke Humphries, but was leading 4-2 with a couple of darts to go 5-2 sets up, first to seven. So got this 16-year-old, went all the way to the World Championship Finals. Then in his second ever senior tournament, World Series of Darts Masters in Bahrain, in the semi-final, he opened up with a 9-darter, won the semi-final, then beat Michael Van Gerwen in the final. I mean, it's an amazing story.
Yep. Where's he from?
He's English. Yep. I think he's from up north. I think he's from somewhere up north.
Yep.
I mean, if you looked at him, as my daughter said, he might be 16, but if you saw him go out with a 16-year-old girl, you'd ring the cops. Yes. He certainly looked, he's got an older face than 16, and he's got a body of a 30-year-old.
Oh, he's perfectly built for darts.
Yeah, correct. He's got a 21-year-old girlfriend, so that says so. Anyhow, but that's irrelevant. It's an amazing story. He just turned 17 a couple of days ago.
Now, Brian, do you have a summer sporting highlight, or would you like to turn your attention to television and what's going on in the world of TV?
Yeah, I don't think I have a summer sporting highlight, Kev. What's going on in TV? Well, Gladiators.
That's exactly what I was hoping you'd get to.
Well, as I posted the other day, like, you know, you got these Gladiators, you know, and I watched a little bit of it. I thought, oh, yeah, look, it could be worse. But what gets me is, like, you've got these Gladiators and they're tough people, they're strong, and they're, why dress them up like they're going to a gay pride rally? You know, the guy with his little bra thing on, it's just so we can see his abs. You know, make them look tough, like bad guys or something. And Gladiators, not like they just raided Peter Allen's wardrobe.
Yes, they should look more like they walked out of the jungle having, you know, beaten 20 wildebeest to get to the stage, as opposed to, you know, they've just walked out of makeup and they smell like the
exactly. You don't have
the front of Meyer when you walk in.
You know, you have some guy in the army fatigues and there's blood all over and a few bullet holes in there, but he's, you know, he's a veteran. And then you have, you know, yeah, but so anyway, it's good news is that it's finished. So fantastic.
was it watchable?
When they actually did the thing, that was, you know, I only watched it for about 10 minutes. That was watchable, but the build-up and the interviews before and the interviews afterwards, and it was like, oh, come on, just get on with it.
It was Liz Ellis and Bo Ryan, wasn't it, who were hosting the show?
Yeah, they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, okay. Bo Ryan's a really good character. He's a really good personality, actually.
Well, they should have a look at what the wrestling people do and how they dress them, because they got the glitz and glamour, but they look tough. These guys look like they should be doing a dance class.
All right. Now, we've got all sorts of shows starting this today, the Monday that we're recording this, is the return of Australian Idol, return of Married at First Sight. I think Tipping Point, the Australian version of that, started today. Mm-hmm. Deal or No Deal's back in a new version of that. So all the new shows have been dusted off and bought out. And yet I think the biggest show in Australia at the moment is Mustard Dogs.
Well, Australia's Got Talent. You know, you look at the promos for that show and you sort of think, oh, they're showing an old flashback from 20 years ago. Because I don't know who the white girl is, but Marsha Hines and Kyle Sanderlands, like, it just looks like, where's Mark Holden? You may as well chuck him in there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, does look a bit like that. I don't know who the girl is, the other judge. Oh, no, it's isn't it Ricky Lee Coulter? Isn't she on that?
Well, I don't know.
I think it is.
Nah.
But the face is everything's the same. It's the bad singer singing the bad song and, you know, them pulling faces.
Yeah. And it just the promo for it, it looks old and tired. It doesn't look like they've updated the show at all, especially with the panel that they've got. You know, look, Marsha, God bless her, but she's been doing these things for 20 years, 30 years. Might as well get Daryl Summers on the thing.
Oh,
as well.
Now don't be unkind.
I don't think Daryl's going to be doing Dancing with the Stars this year.
I definitely think he won't be because isn't he suing them?
I believe so.
Yes. Some sort of copyright battle going on there over something. I can't remember what it is, but I did see some news of that. Anything on the TV caught your eye finally that you've watched that you've gone, oh, give me a look at that? I've got to say, in preface to that, Boy Swallows Universe is bloody terrific and Prosper isn't bad either. Mm. Two Australian shows that have been on streaming services.
All right, let me just make this comment. Free-to-air television in Australia is a national disgrace. It is. I'm not saying that as a joke. We should be horrified at the quality of shows, the regurgitation of rubbish, Gladiators.
Yeah.
Deal or No Deal. Let's have half an hour of opening up suitcases because I care what somebody I've never met wins, whether he wins $1 or $50,000. Oh, fuck, that's going to – that is so important to me. It's so interesting. You know, I mean, that is dead set. Why don't they have half an hour of noughts and crosses? The final score is a nil-all draw. You know, then they steal a couple of shows from England. They stole Pointless and ruined that because it's a great show. That didn't work in Australia. They've stolen The Chaser. That goes
Tipping that Point. Goes all right.
Now they're stealing Tipping Point. As a joke, England should make just the worst show ever and say, look, we don't expect anybody here to watch it. We just want to see some moronic TV executive in Australia buy it sight unseen because they're too gutless to make their own free-to-air TV and too incompetent. It's just a series of hopeless, absolutely hopeless, formulaic, as you said. You know the formula on Australia's Got Talent. You know the formula on math. You know.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to let a cat out of the bag. Not me personally, but a good friend of ours has a best friend on maths this year and got told the whole backstory. Everybody knows it's contrived. It's the greatest bullshit of all time. It is just an absolute stage stupidity. or you know what I've worked out with those programs? It's made for idiots by idiots. You know, I don't know whether it's a private school network. If you are the head of a network or a TV executive, right, you should be publicly scorned. You should be – if it should have the same social cachet as saying that, you know, I just came out of Port Phillip prison for 9 years. It is an embarrassment. I cannot stress enough how moronic free-to-air TV in Australia is. Anyhow, we all know it, but the free-to-air services, I'm staggered at the quality, the tuning out of brilliant series that come out of America and a few out of Australia as well, but mainly America. But the stars that are in it, I'm not watching this one with Jodie Foster, but I look at them. All the great film stars now do these TV, these you know, these series on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there was a time when, oh, I won't do television. God. Now.
Yeah, no.
Jeez.
But they're brilliant. The production values are brilliant. I've got to say, I did watch, what's the Australian, it's sort of the sequel to Oliver Twist. I think it's called Twist or something.
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
It's set in Australia. It's that Oliver Twist. No, it's The Artful Dodger.
Oh, yeah, that's on Disney, I think.
I watched that. That has all the hallmarks of being written by an Australian. You know, in America, they have 20 people write shows. Here, it's one idiot on a toilet having a crap. That was absolute garbage. But I just finished watching the latest series of Fargo. Absolutely brilliant.
I haven't started to watch it, but I know Juno Temple's in it, who I love from Ted Lasso.
Juno Temple, Jennifer Lee. Jennifer Jason Lee.
Yeah, who was in what was that movie she was in where she was mimicking the other woman? What was that called? She was great in it.
Mimic the other woman?
She's brilliant. John Hamm from Mad Men stars in it.
Yep.
He's brilliant. And then this unknown actor who's, as in all Fargo series, there's one bad man who's so bad, he redefines bad. There's another one of them. It's a great series, brilliantly filmed with some dark, hilarious humour and cruelty in it. And I've got to admit, I started watching a series that I don't think many people would think is highbrow. Started slowly, but the last two episodes have been bloody hilarious, and that's Ted, the TV series.
Oh, the prequel to the movie.
Yeah. It is so – it becomes so funny. I mean, you know, it's very irreverent, and it's very good.
No.
Okay.
If you like Family Guy, you're going to like it.
Yeah, I've been dodging Ted because I thought I'd watch it and go, oh, yeah, it's a bit puerile and a bit sort of, you know.
First couple of episodes are,
yep.
And then it becomes more adult and quite good.
Okay. I've been watching a whole stack of British stuff, Vigil and Trigger Point, which is one that's about to start. The second series is fantastic. Watched a thing called Cheat, which was really good. There's so many. Boy Swallows Universe is one. Have a look at it. There's bits and pieces in it. The first half of it, I reckon the first four or five eps, are bloody brilliant. It drops off a little for me. It did for me in the last couple. And Prosper, which is, I think, absolutely based on the Hillsong church escapades, yep, with Richard Roxburgh as the head of the church, Rebecca Gibney as his wife. And a really good cast. It's very good. It lost me a bit at the end, but it's bloody good too, and it's quality. Yeah. And there's a thing on the ABC at the moment that Deborah Malman's in with Rachel Griffith called Total Control, which is really good too. Really good.
Wow.
So I did watch the two miniseries that sort of both came out about the same time, I think, about OxyContin. One's Painkiller, and I can't remember the other one, and they're both brilliant. God, they're good.
Is that not the Dr. Death?
That whole story of OxyContin.
Oh, no,
it's the story of OxyContin.
Yeah.
One stars Matthew Broderick as the man behind it. Another one stars another actor.
I've watched the Matthew Broderick one. It's very good.
Yeah, the other one's a little bit better.
Oh, okay.
The other one stars who was the guy that played Batman? Like the first
Michael Keating.
Michael Keating. Yeah. He stars in it, and he also directed it, and it is so good. It is such a – it's the horror story of our times. You know, we talk about wars and whatever, which are terrible, yet a drug company can shamelessly market a drug that has killed hundreds of thousands of people.
Yep. And I watched that Dr. Death series, and that's about, you know, someone who runs around the place pretending that he's come up with a cure – for, you know, a problem in your throat, and there's people dropping off left, right, and centre while he's experimenting on human lives, and they're letting him and saying that he's a wonderful fella and a great surgeon of the future, a futuristic surgeon, going, bloody hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I blame Brian.
I think they should. If they're going to bring shows back, just getting back to Finney's point, bring back number 96, bring back the Sullivans, bring back Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. I watched a bit of Skippy the other day, and Sonny and Skippy jumped out of a helicopter with a freaking parachute, and then Skippy was swimming in the ocean. But anyway, that was good. And I reckon you could make Homicide again, but I'd set it in the 60s when it was made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make a gritty version of Homicide.
Yeah,
be
don't
good.
Worry about their personal lives. If somebody gets murdered, the Homicide Squad comes in, they do detective work, they solve the crime.
I had an idea like that. I reckon they should make a TV series, a cop show, where each week somebody's murdered with a Middle Eastern dip.
Yeah. What's it called, Finney?
Homicide.
Thank you.
All right. There we go.
I knew we were going somewhere with that.
I've been in the deli far too long.
You have. Yeah,
I've been watching old Steptoe and Sons. Yep. They're bloody brilliant.
Yes, they are. I watched some Ronnie Barker, two Ronnies the other day, because someone in an interview we did talked about meeting Ronnie Barker and what a wonderful human being he was and how delightful he was to be around. And it got me on YouTube watching some. Oh, God, they're funny. The two Ronnies, some of the stuff they did, you look at it now and go, my God, the minds. Hey. Because we're on 60 Minutes and the news is coming on, we've got to go to the news at the end of 60 Minutes, like back in the old days. We've got to get to the Death Eliza, Brian.
Oh, it's going to be a huge one tonight.
It's a massive one. I've got a month's work of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this bumper edition of the Death Eliza.
Hey, you know, Steve's not going to have to do any work on that from a vocal point of view. Brian, because with the new microphone, it sounds.
You know, I like the little effects that he does
bloody,
on it.
Pretty impressive. Steve's back, incidentally. Our producer.
Good on you, Steve.
Steve's back, so it's good to have him back.
Oh, good to hear you.
All right, December when
is,
we
is
left
that
you.
Fair income, the view out of your is that fair income behind the view out of your window, Brian?
What? Yeah.
Oh, hasn't he taken you to the balcony on the camera yet, Finney? Haven't you had that experience yet? Every time we do a bloody interview with someone, Mannix takes his phone and does a panoramic view of the
especially if it's raining in Melbourne.
Yeah, especially.
You're a multi.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I just paid my body corporate. That wasn't much fun.
He was a multi up until then. All right.
Yeah.
First up, Colin Burgess, who was the drummer in the Master's Apprentices. Passed away at the age of 77. He was one of the original members of the Masters. Very good drummer.
And yeah, he was a good drummer, actually.
Yeah, he was a really good drummer.
Yeah. Because a lot of those drummers in the 60s would be sort of tap away. But you listen to Turn Up Your Radio, he's rocking it.
Yep,
yeah, he's good.
5'10 Man, all those songs, they had a really good drum sound, the Masters. Frank Cocozzo passed away at the age of 88.
And I believe his funeral is going to be in north of Melbourne or the Footscray.
Very good.
They're not sure yet.
Did you interview him at any stage, Finney?
No, I didn't interview him, but, you know, I grew up watching those ads. Everybody loved him. And I listened to a lot of news reports that day. I must have been in the car. And so people were talking about him. And he was groundbreaking and he was very good for ethnic Australians, you know, just a bit of an identity thing that they loved hearing foreign languages on radio. On TV,
yep,
you know, and it was groundbreaking. It's actually got a place in sort of Australian culture that's more important than just the ads. But I kept hearing people saying the amazing things of the ads were that they were bilingual, and that is incorrect. He did his ad, even though he was Italian, his ads were trilingual. They were in English because he would say, "Avena dare di Franco Cozzo, grande spender." Da grande. Now, grande sfendita means big sale in Italian.
Yep.
And then he would say, Megaro exoblasto, Megaro exoblasto. He also did it in Greek. He was Spirisarean and Mario Milano.
Rolled together
with a bit of English. It was brilliant.
It's like the English was the Jack Little part of it, and he could have just interviewed himself.
Yes. Yeah.
No, he was a larger-than-life figure. And every time he drove in a Footscray, you saw the big warehouse on the right hand side.
Yeah. And for anybody that bought any furniture from Franco Conso, you must have horrible taste.
Mental as anything got him to do a voiceover for one of their tours.
That's right.
Comprare da mental as anything.
It's a great idea. Great idea. Right. Sadly, passed away at the age of 88. Carl Webb passed away at the age of 42. Brisbane Broncos player, State of Origin player for Queensland. Unfortunately, the MND got him, and at 42 years of age, he passed away. He was a great character for rugby league. Bill Granger, the chef, was only 54.
Ouch.
Wasn't that? I had no idea he was ill. That really sort of hits home when you're in your 50s and you think of a vibrant bloke you see on TV, then he passes away. That was shocking to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the next bloke, Tom Smothers from the Smothers Brothers in America, he's 86. I mean, that probably doesn't come as a great shock, but 54 is like, wow, way too young. So Tom Smothers at 86. John Pilger, the journalist and documentary maker, at the age of 84.
Yep.
Tom Wilkinson, the actor who was in The Full Monty, who got a BAFTA for his role in The Full Monty, he passed away at the age of 75.
Which one was he? The
tall one?
Yes.
The big, tall, older bloke?
Yes.
Oh, the one that had the sun lamp machine.
Oh, I don't remember.
He's a great actor.
Been a lot of other films,
Very good actor.
He passed away. One very sad one, and we can't talk too much about it because I think it's still there's still a court case going on. But Melissa Hoskins, the cyclist, tragically died at the age of 32. There's a horrible, horrible story. That more of that will unfold in the coming weeks and months, I'm sure. Now we get to January, and
oh my God, that was only December.
That was December. We get to January now. 4th of January, very big surprise. David Soule passed away at the age of 80. This is where Brian does his.
What was his song?
Starsky, Don't Give Up on Us.
Don't give up on us, baby.
And he had another one, Something Lady, didn't he?
Yeah, Something Lady.
Yeah, can't think of the name.
It doesn't matter. I won't speak ill of the dead.
It wasn't a great singer. He had a couple of big hit songs, but he certainly wasn't a great singer.
They were hits off the back of Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, absolutely.
That was huge, that show.
Absolutely. Well, very smart bit of marketing by his people that, he could carry a tune. Mm. So get him in a studio and get him to pump out a couple of songs and bang, because he and Paul Michael Glazer, they were massive stars.
Yeah, and Paul Michael Glazer, no album from him.
No.
No, David Richard Soule, David R. Soule.
Thank you very much. Franz Beckenbauer.
There's a big one.
Died at the age of 78.
Bend it like Beckenbauer.
Yeah, well, he was well before Beckham and a fabulous player for Germany. My goodness gracious me. Was he the rock of that team for two World Cup wins?
Der Kaiser. Well, for some people, I remember there was a big discussion at one point when everybody was saying Pelé's the best player of all time. Some people were saying Beckenbauer.
Yeah, they were. They were.
Yeah, very good player.
Yep. Two World Cups and of course, it was a little mired at the end there with some of the FIFA stuff that happened at the end, but there was a lot of them with their nose in the trough at that stage. Bill Hayes passed away at the age of 98 from Days of Our Lives. The longest running person in that particular one. And he also was a singer of note, and he sang the ballad of Davy Crockett in the original television series.
I don't know that. I can only think of the Daniel Boone theme.
Yeah, Davy Crockett, they had a song. I'm not about to sing it. Mary Weiss passed away at the age of 75. She was the lead singer of the Shangri-Las.
Oh.
Her Boyfriend's Back.
That's a good song.
Melissa Safka. Melanie Safka passed away at the age of 76.
That's all right. The other Safka'd me too.
She had Lay Down, she had Candles in the Wind.
She did all right.
Terrific
Lay Down, grab the candles. Here that comes some wind.
Big hippie.
Melanie
always had the caftans on.
Beautiful woman.
Now, Frank Farian.
I like hippie women.
Yeah, so do I. Funny. Frank Farian.
What did?
82.
Pardon?
Yeah, go on. What?
Who did?
Frank Farian passed away at the age of 82. German singer-songwriter. No Franz Beckenbauer, this bloke. He wrote hits for Boney M, like Rasputin.
Ugh.
And he was also the man behind Milli Vanilli.
Oh,
so another German criminal finds justice.
I think he was also a pretty good Messerschmitt 109 pilot as well.
He could very well have been.
Yeah. I think they named a Tiger tank after him.
And Harry Connick Sr. passed away at the age of 97. Of course, father of Harry Connick Jr., obviously, and the district attorney of New Orleans for many, many years. Was the old Harry Connick Sr. So there you go. That is the Deathalyzer. Shut her up, Ryan.
That concludes tonight's episode of The Deathalyzer.
You want to milk that a bit more, or you quite finished?
I did milk it a bit.
You're gonna have to steam clean that microphone after that.
Nearly threw up on myself.
Jesus, you gotta keep a little bit going on there, Brian. Keep a little bit in reserve, mate. You know, when you sing, just keep a little bit back there from the masses.
You're right, Kev. You're right.
So, how's the vaping going, Fine? Are you seeing that I've watched you now and in a cloud of and a puff of smoke like some cartoon character for the last 50 minutes?
Well, you're not supposed to do it, so, you know, in these politically correct days.
Now, it's not banned. What have they done? They banned something recently to do with it?
I'll tell you what they haven't fucking banned. They haven't banned idiots on e-scooters and e-bikes riding on the footpath, riding in bike lanes, riding on the road, riding in your bathroom. You know, when are they going to tighten up these laws? I was down Centre Road Bentley today and some idiot on an e-scooter just flying down the footpath.
Yeah.
You know,
can I ask where motorised...
And they're building bike paths everywhere. Why are you building bike paths for people on bikes that go 60 k's an hour?
Motorised bike. When did motorised bikes become such a great big thing? No one pedals anything anymore or pushes anything. Everyone just stands on it and goes, vroom.
Oh, I know a few people who pedal and push.
Yes, it's totally different.
You're looking at the laziest population this planet ever had.
It really is.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I hate e-bikes 90% of the time.
You can't hear them coming. So if one comes behind you and you sort of deviate, they could hit you, but you don't.
I used to have a girlfriend like that.
There's a reason, Finey. Because she never did.
Oh, good one. Oh, Kevin. Who's saying, Kevin? No, I hate e-bikes and e-scooters 90% of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
When's the 10% you do like them?
When they've got my Uber food delivery on them.
Okay.
In those cases, Godspeed.
Yes. Well, then a motorised version is what makes sense. But I'm sorry, I spent the weekend last weekend, the Del Evans Road Race was on down in Geelong over the 3 days down there, and the amount of people on proper bikes, you know, rolling around and pushing pedals and doing all that stuff, and then I get back into Hoppers and home at Hoppers Crossing, and everyone's on a friggin' motorised bike. Everyone went down the street past me, 30 bloody bikes past me, and they're all motorised. Not one was being pedalled by anyone. I thought, really?
Yeah.
Lazy.
Lazy. Good for nothings.
And can I also say, they don't just do like 2 miles an hour either. They fairly fly.
Yeah.
Correct. They're in the bike lanes.
Well,
weren't built for them. They come up on the footpath. They're on the road. They're on freeways. They're everywhere. I I went to Luna Park the other day. It was on Big Dipper. I got overtaken by.
Well, up here, I don't know what it's like down there, but up here you got 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds doing 25K on the footpath.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're going to be able to go that fast, you've got to have
registration of some description and some sort of a license that says that you actually know something about some road rules.
Yeah, I don't think we want 12-year-olds. We don't want 12-year-old going that fast.
And it's not apocryphal. They've knocked over pedestrians and they've injured and killed some old people on the footpath, you know. And the problem is they've got no ID on them. They don't have a number plate. They just piff off.
Yeah, no, that is a problem. It is a problem.
Well, you should grab them and chuck them up in the middle of the desert. Here's some tents, some couple of drill sergeants.
Here we go.
Set it up. You're here for 6 months, boys. All of those kids doing all the crime that are 14 and 15. Righto, up in the middle of the desert. Here's a tent. Run away if you like. Where are you going to go?
Unfortunately, 14 and 15-year-olds doing crime in the middle of the desert that job's already been done.
No, I don't want them anywhere near it. I just want them in the middle of Shitter's Ditch. And you treat them like a platoon. Okay, set up the tents. Okay, you're cooking. Okay, you're doing the spot.
Who's going to pay for that, Brian?
Well, you're probably paying just as much to have them in a, detention centre. Yeah,
detention centre, probably.
I know exactly who's paying for it.
And,
you.
Yes. You, me and him.
No, Channel 9, new series, reality show. Reality show, e-bikes and Shitter's Ditch.
Little shits in Shitter's Ditch.
Yeah, and tonight's challenge for food and all that, yeah, and you get, a year off if you do this challenge. Yeah, that would be a reality show in the making. So a lot of inside prison type shows on the streaming services, on the Netflix and all those ones. God.
No, but we've got to give them some skills. They'll feel good when they set the tent up. Go, oh, shit, I did that. You know, they'll actually be better people after they've spent time in my desert camp.
The Brian Mannix desert camp. Oh, now there's a concept.
Right. So you want to set up a camp where people really focus on what they're doing and concentrate.
Well, they have to do everything. There's nobody's doing it for them. You've got to set the tent up. You've got to cook. You've got to clean up the thing. You've got to change the toilets. They all got responsibilities. Otherwise, they're
up Shitter's Ditch.
Yeah.
So, but you're saying when you go up there, you've got to focus. You've really got to concentrate. Is that correct?
Well, I just want them to have a purpose.
Yes or no? Do you want them to focus and concentrate?
I want them to do something. Yes.
That's a concentration camp.
Oh.
No, it's not a concentration camp. It's an adventure jail.
An adventure jail.
That's right. You know, it's a great, and, you know,
trademark the Brian Manning.
Yes.
And as well as, just to make it a bit interesting, as well as having the couple of drill sergeants and, some army kind of guys there, I'm going to chuck in a couple of 1960s era Christian Brothers, just to really keep those kids in line.
Don't you just take me to Sunday school on a Sunday. Goodness me. 2 minute warning, boys, because we've got to go to the news. Right. As you know, we've got to go to the news. Mm-hmm. We have to be there. So any final thoughts, finally, this is your chance to go. One more thing.
Well, I plan to bring this up with 60 seconds to go. So just give me the bell at 60 seconds.
Righto. I'll give you the bell at 60 seconds. Any final thoughts from you on this week's program, Brian? We'll have Chart Chat next week, more Death Eliza. Well, hopefully not more Death Eliza. I don't mean that in a promotional
sense. I think my good friend Donald Trump is being persecuted. It's a witch hunt. 87 million. And, yeah, anyway. No, I'm good. Life is good. And I'm looking forward to everything.
Gigs coming up?
Yeah, I go to Adelaide in about 10 days, I think.
Okay.
And it'll be good to catch up with my son. And then I think I'm in Melbourne.
60 seconds from now.
All right, I'm done.
All right, so I thought I'd just bring up a topic that we could just sort of wrap up in the last 45 seconds of radio.
Yep.
Any thoughts of the state of play with the Australia Day celebration at the moment.
Geez. Oh, fine.
I'm not happy with these light blue Australian flags. Australian flag is navy blue. Don't be giving me this light blue version of it. It's not an away jumper. Keep the colour blue the same colour it should be. If you want to change the date, I'm cool with that too.
I don't mind changing the date. I just wish we'd all get our head out of our ass and start, you know, enjoying the country we live in.
The yep. annual shit fight. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly right. And now, as they say in the classics, good night, boys. It's time for the news.
You've just experienced Ruck and Roll. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.